Ladies and gentlemen, if you take your seats, we're going to begin the portion of our public forum. Once again, if you take your seats, we'll be starting very shortly. Thank you. Would the ICANN board members please return to their seats on the stage so we can begin our program? Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a wonderful portion of our program available now. Let me introduce External Relations Manager, URID.EU, Giovanni Seppia.
Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Rob. Thanks, Board. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of URID, the Registry Manager of the .EU domain, it is my pleasure to introduce you the ICANN 38 meeting, which will take place in Brussels from 20 to 25th June this year. We have produced a video to briefly show you the beauties of one of the most international cities in the world and of a country with great history, culture, and attractions. Let's see the video together.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Brussels for the ICANN 38 meeting. Brussels is not just the capital of Belgium, but also the capital of the European Union. And as President of the European Council, former Prime Minister of Belgium, and more importantly, as a native from Brussels, I would like to invite you to discover the heart of Europe, the heart of .EU, the European online identity. Brussels is one of the most important international cities in the world. It is home not only to the European institutions, but also to NATO, many headquarters of big international firms, and of course, URID, the European Registry of Internet Domains, which is hosting the ICANN meeting in Brussels.
The .EU domain is a symbol of Europe, of togetherness and cultural integration. It represents the European online identity. It's a way to show your Europeanness in a technology-driven world.
We are pleased today because this meeting gives you the opportunity to get to know our country, Belgium, and its capital, Brussels, better.
Maybe you've seen the little boy?
He's been peeing on the street corner for 400 years.
We call him Marekepis.
Two landmarks need to be bigger.
More impressive, like the Royal Palace.
Just a couple blocks away from the Square Congress Center where your meeting takes place.
At the King Square, you can see the new Magritte Museum with over 200 paintings by the famous surrealist Brussels painter.
La Grand Place, considered one of the most beautiful medieval squares in Europe.
The square is dominated
by the magnificent 15th century town hall
with its hundreds of little statues.
Within walking distance, you find Rue de Boucher, Butcher Street, in which every building is a restaurant.
And Galerie Saint-Hubert, the oldest covered shopping arcade in Europe.
You like history? Well, Belgium has loads of it.
Visiting the old red roof city of Bruges, which has remained largely untouched since the Middle Ages, it is like stepping back into a history book.
Belgium is as rich as it is diverse in all its aspects.
To some, it's known as the country of Belgian enzymes. We call it with love.
And it's with love that we welcome everyone who wants. To see our small but beautiful country.
Famous for things that taste good, like Belgian chocolates and Belgian waffles.
It's not a secret. The Belgian chocolate, the best in the world.
Every city has luxurious chocolateries.
Belgium is an easy country to travel in.
You can cross the borders without even noticing. Leave early in Brussels.
Have breakfast in Paris.
Lunch in Aachen. Have tea in London.
Dinner in Amsterdam. And be back in Brussels in time for a night game.
If you visit the beach, don't wear socks, certainly not with sandals.
You should visit the Answer exposition. It will blow your socks off.
As innovative in their time, though the collective name wouldn't give that impression, were the 15th century Flemish primitives. Come and see their beautiful paintings in their hometown, Bruges.
Antwerp is our most feminine city.
Famous for its diamond. And diamonds, they do say, is girls' best friend.
Women love fashion, and so does Antwerp.
A city where world-famous fashion designers went to school
and still have shops and ateliers.
Belgium is a real beer country.
With more than 500 different beers, every city worth its name has bars serving loads of different beers.
Like the world-famous Trappist beers, named after the monks who brew them with great care.
Want to eat something with your beer? Then you should try Belgian food. Belgium is famous for its Michelin-starred restaurants.
You can eat our Belgian fries on every corner of the Belgian streets in our fry shacks or frietkoten.
I'm pleased that this meeting gives you the opportunity to get to know Belgium and Brussels, the European capital. It's a city virtually open to everything and certainly very much looking forward to welcome you in June.
Thank you so much. We have a stand just outside this big room. If you would like to pick up some literature about Brussels and some gadgets, please do so. And see you soon in Brussels. Thank you.
Giovanni, thank you very much. That's an excellent presentation, very exciting. And I look forward, and I'm sure the rest of the board as well, in meeting up with you and all the rest of the community in Brussels in June. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we return to implementation issues around new GTLDs. And we're up to the item three character variants. If there are no questions or queries yet about three character variants, the floor is also open to the EOI, the expressions of interest topic. Is there anyone wanting to discuss expressions of interest? And can I just make a point while some are coming to the microphone? The chairman of the GAC has requested permission to leave early, and of course that's been granted, but I just mention if anybody has a topic on the agenda that they wanted to discuss with the chairman, you may have been waiting to bring that up and any other issues after 12. Please bring that forward if there's anything that you wish to ask of the chairman of the GAC. He wants to make himself available in case there is such a thing. So
Let's go back to the speaking order. Rob, we'll start with you. Anybody in the room?
Yes, sir. There are quite a few people in the room. I'd like to share. A number of folks came up to me during the break to ask these questions. We had at our peak just before the break 117 remote participants. We've got people from many different countries, and we'd like to acknowledge our remote hub participants in Reston, Virginia, San Francisco, California, and Dhaka, Bangladesh. Let me turn to the first statement from Chuck Gomes, Peter, and he's commenting on the subject expression of interest. In my personal capacity as a member of the GNSO and an active member of the new GTLD PDP, I want to comment on the public comments summary and analysis prepared by staff regarding the proposed new GTLD EOI. The GNSO recommended, one, a broad-based communication effort take place that would last a minimum of 4 months, but could be longer than 4 months. Two, the communication period should begin after all issues are resolved. The intent of the GNSO recommendation was to make best efforts to inform those who are not actively involved in ICANN aware of the new GTLD process, and in doing so, to make sure that a complete picture of the process was available so as to allow them to participate. I disagree with the apparent staff conclusion that the GNSO recommendation could be met by having a 4-month communication period starting soon after board approval of an EOI and running until the EOI is initiated. To fulfill the intent of the GNSO recommendation, I believe the communication period needs to extend beyond the point when all major issues are very close to final resolution. This would not preclude starting the communication period earlier, but if that happened, it would mean that it may need to last longer than 4 months. If all major issues in DAG4 are close to final resolution, then the communication period should go at least a couple of months beyond the posting of DAG4, assuming that the minimum 4-month period is achieved. Moreover, I firmly believe that this should not cause any delays in the overall process. It would just mean that the communications period would last longer and would overlap the EOI period. I also disagree with the staff conclusion that strings need to be publicly disclosed. Up until the introduction of the EOI concept, the new GTLD implementation plan stated that strings be disclosed after the start of the application period. Certainly, the strings need to be collected in the EOI, but they do not have to be publicly posted before the start of the application period. It seems very possible that the benefits of making strings public could be offset by problems associated with gaming by potential competitors. The gaming would probably be mitigated by not posting the strings until after the EOI ends, but the more time between the posting of strings and the start of the application period, the more there will be possible problems, not the least of which is premature exposure of business plans of applicants. If strings are disclosed before the application period starts, then disclosure of the strings should definitely not occur until all EOI responses are received and the time period between the end of the EOI and the start of the application process should be minimized. And if strings are to be disclosed as part of a mandatory EOI, then the EOI should mark the beginning of the application process and not be a distinct process.
Excuse me, Chuck. I've asked Rod if he'd comment in relation to the length of time, because that has budget implications, and I think Rod also wants to comment on the other aspects. Rod?
Sure. Thank you very much, Chuck. And I got two major points from your question. One is on the communications period, when it starts, when it ends, how long that goes, and how that lines up with the applications. Obviously, there are going to be some budgetary constraints on what can be done in terms of dollar spend on media and communication and resources. On the other hand, I will say I've had very good discussions with multiple groups here, both formally and informally, who are volunteering to help out with that communications process, including the GAC, including the ALAC, and other advisory committees. I see Cheryl Langenor nodding her head here, and her group was very supportive of this idea. The reality is that all the global internet ecosystem partners here have tremendous wiring in the countries around the world, and we're going to need your help. Another successful case study was in Germany, where there was a program put together by the government in conjunction with private industry called Neue Adresse im Internet, or New Addresses on the Internet. It was a half-day program just on new GTLDs, where the government and the private sector brought together several hundred experts from all aspects. ICANN then showed up and delivered information on the program and education, which really helped those people move along. And we would like to have similar support around the world from other private sector and government players. So that'll be very important to get leverage on our activities, so it's not just what we do or spend funds on, but how you, the community, helps us to spread that word, particularly in the developing world. With respect to the timing of the announcement of strings, another issue that came up in discussions is in the IDN program, ICANN has a policy of not disclosing the strings until they're approved or not approved. However, the applicants have the privilege to publish and share. When they do that, it effectively promotes the IDN program and shares word around the world. A good point that was brought up in the registrar discussion Peter and I were at with the registrar constituency was that if we do the same with new GTLDs and the applicants can have the choice to disclose when they want, that itself could create a tremendous amount of communication and education around a new GTLD offering. And I believe that will be open and according to the current policy guidelines. And I'll ask Kurt or someone else to step up and correct me if I make any statements that are not accurate. The other point on string disclosure is a difficult one, and staff did work on this, shared it with the board. The documents were out for public comment. Why did we lean on the side of transparency? And the reason was, first, we did sign the affirmation of commitments. That commits us to transparency as a guiding principle. Secondly, the affirmation of commitments commits us to act in the global public interest. While parties made cogent arguments as to why not disclosing strings would be in the interests of private businesses, namely the string applicants, no arguments that I recall were made as to what the global public benefit was for end users of not sharing those strings. Given a lack of strong arguments on the other side and a lack of strong public comments in terms of the public interest, not opposing why it should happen from a business standpoint, but from the public interest, the policy guidelines have gone in the direction of transparency. And ultimately, that will be at the discretion of the board. Also, Chuck, one last comment is you made the comment that if the strings are going to be disclosed, they should not be disclosed until the end of until all applications have been received, and I believe that is the current proposed policy framework in the documents. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Rob. Rob, is this? We've had one online. Let's go to the microphone. So, Anthony, it's you.
Thank you very much, Peter. Anthony Vancouver speaking. I'd like to say that I am thrilled that this meeting is happening in Kenya. And I think it's very, very appropriate because this is a country that has a quite short history, not actually a great deal longer than ICANN's. And as I walk in, I notice there's a large statue of Jomo Kenyatta in the courtyard. He and Nkrumah and Lumumba and Mboya were all people who gathered together to try to start independent countries, and several of them paid with their lives. They know, and they knew, and these countries have learned the lessons that rights are never given by the powerful. They are only earned. And I think that they learned the lesson that counsel to wait, that others had their interests at heart, that they learned that honeyed words are always accompanied by naked force, and I think we should look at the new GTLD program and EOIs in particular in that light. There are a number of people here who have spoken about the public interest and why it's a good idea to wait and have counseled patience and so on. And I think that we should learn that we need to get this program going, and that to do that, we're going to have to fight for it. And I'm especially pleased to be here today and seeing that long fight come to fruition. Thank you.
Thank you, Anthony. Is there somebody online, Rob?
Yes, Peter. Susan Reynolds from .gal. She has two questions. I'll read one, stop, let you guys answer it, and then ask the second, which I think it was discussed in the previous period. Here's Susan. .gal, for the Galician Cultural and Linguistic Community, supports EOI as long as it doesn't delay the whole new GTLD process any further. Timelines are crucial for potential applicants, so we would appreciate it if you could provide an estimated but reliable timeline regarding the publishing of Draft Applicant Guidebook 4, final guidebook, and the launch of the process. Thank you.
I'm sure we can answer the first part. Kurt, we have an estimated publication date for DAG 4. And for those of you not in the room, Kurt is making his way to the microphone.
And Kurt. He arrived. Yes, we plan to publish Guidebook 4 in time for discussion at the Brussels meeting.
And would you like to answer the rest of the question about the rest of the timeline?
Sure. So then there's an EOI that's planned, and the board's going to consider whether we should conduct an EOI at all, and we've had a lot of discussion here about whether to say yes or no. If we do, we'd launch a communication plan and the EOI at the close of that four-month communication plan, so you can plot that out in your mind. What's the plan for the final guidebook? Well, we're going to publish Guidebook 4. The board and the staff, but primarily the board's been driving very hard at this meeting to close the remaining issues, and so that Guidebook 4 becomes a final version of the applicant guidebook. The true test of that is the comment, of course, after it's published, but think about a publication period of Guidebook 4, a comment period, and then consideration of a final guidebook, formulation of a final guidebook that would have to be considered and approved by the board. So think about, without being specific, think about comment periods and consideration for that.
Very helpful. Thank you, Kurt.
And Peter, there's Susan's follow-up. If we don't get to the solution to all the problems in all new different strings, is ICANN thinking of different categories of applicants, e.g. geographic brand, linguistic and cultural, as some GAC members proposed?
We haven't got a Plan B for the failure of Plan A yet, but that may be one of them. Thanks. Mariyama-san.
Yes, this is Naomasa Mariyama from Japan. I speak about EOI, that is the, I think, implementation issue. To be quite frankly, I don't like any kind of the substantial policy discussion take here at this stage after the final policy recommendation by the GNSO. But this EOI, I think that is the purely implementation issue. I have 2 points here about the EOI. Point one is that the initial motive for this EOI is to accelerate the process of a new GTLD process. So that is the important point, I think. The second point I want to refer here is that on page 12 of the staff's recommendation, that is certain key provisions that significantly affect an entity's decision to participate would have to be settled prior to UI launch. I think this is an important point. Having said these 2 points, I want to recommend 2 modifications to the draft UI proposal. One is that UI should be launched after the DAC version final minus one, not the version 4. I hope that the version 4 will be the final minus one, but I think it's not certain. And the second point is that whether the latest version of the DAC is minus version or not should be decided by the board. When the DAC, new version of the DAC comes out, board will discuss that version is sufficiently completed or not, and when they find the version is sufficiently completed, then they will give go to the EOI. That is my proposal. If this proposal will not be accepted, my alternative proposal is to completely abolish the idea of the EOI to serve our energy.
Thank you, Masa. Back to the room, Rob.
Thank you, Peter. Christina Rosette from the IPC posting personally has a statement and a question, and you know, with her assent, I'll sort of combine the two. Here's the statement, and we'll end with her question. Yesterday, ICANN posted an announcement of a March 18 webinar described as, quote, providing an overview of the current expressions of interest and pre-registrations, parentheses, EOI pre-registrations model proposal, end quote. Also yesterday, Melbourne IT, which employs a board member, distributed an email invitation to a webinar, coincidentally also scheduled for March 18, about the board's decision on the EOI, quote, a critical step in the GTLD process that will also be the pre-application for first-round submissions, end quote. There would be no point in having these webinars unless ICANN staff and Melbourne IT knew that the board had already decided to adopt the EOI staff model. The webinars announced yesterday by ICANN and Melbourne IT, does that suggest the board has already decided to adopt the staff EOI model? Is that correct?
The board has made no such decision. Amadeo.
Amadeo Abril from CORE. I will try to speak slowly.
Thank
this
you.
Time, my compliments and my thanks to the scribes wherever they are this time. Regarding the EOI, as Susan Reynolds said previously, we also support that, provided that it doesn't mean more delays in the real process. The question that everything should start from communication to even EOI, when everything is settled, is how troubling, because then, well, we start. We don't care about the naming. We don't mind whether the EOI is another thing, is the first step. The only thing we ask the board to bear in mind is that, regardless of all the advantages and disadvantages, just to check and make sure whether adding the EOI adds 3 more months, it's neutral, or shortens 3 more months, 3 months from, you know, the general schedule. I think that the staff proposal is a good compromise about the things that should be solved before and the things that can go in parallel with the EOI. So please, my advice to the board and my request is that if you feel the need, because of any comments or consensus in the community, to solve absolutely everything, even from a grammatical point of view, before you launch the EOI, you forget it. If that can help to be in parallel of some part that needs to be implemented in parallel, well, it's a good idea, provided also, as Rob has said, that the strings are public, because I think this is an absolute need for the UI to be meaningful. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Amadeo. Aisha. Oh, I'm sorry, Aisha, could I just ask you to hold for a moment? I'll go back to Rob. Rob, somebody on the online?
Yes, sir, and just as a heads up, I have another 10 in the queue. Constantine Roussos, .music, the topic expression of interest. I'll read the statement, then the question. The EOI should be used for legitimate interest purposes only and not allow EOI slots to be transferred from one party to another or sold because it invites foul play or gaming. Unacceptable scenarios that can arise include slot owners profiteering from their EOI process by auctioning their slots, as well as conducting extortion-like tactics, asking to be paid off to withdraw their slot position. The EOI process should not be used in bad faith to profit behind the scenes or to invite potential illegitimate bad actors. Does the ICANN board agree with ICANN staff opinion that it is okay to transfer or sell slots to third parties?
The board doesn't actually have a position on that yet because we haven't got to the stage of having an EOI, but we will be considering that as part of the discussion today and in any resolution tomorrow. Aisha.
Thank you, Chair. Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. As the board considers the expression of interest proposal, I'm pleased to provide you with the comments of ICC, who also submitted informal comments to the process ahead of this meeting. ICC, the International Chamber of Commerce, is a global business membership organization with companies and associations from the supply and buy sides across sectors and geographies and of all sizes. Our members all rely on the Internet for many facets of their operations, communications, and distribution channels. Thus, the technical coordination of the Internet is of critical importance. ICC does not support the implementation of an EOI or pre-registration process until the rules for the new GTLD application process are actually fully developed and agreed upon by the ICANN community. It is very difficult for business to evaluate participating in an EOI when new or changed GTLD application rules could significantly impact business plans and models. There are several important issues that remain unresolved in the current draft applicant guidebook, and it is not certain they will be resolved by DAG 4, though we appreciate the efforts to discuss many of these unresolved issues here in Nairobi during discussions this week. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you. Hirokatsu Ohigashi from the GMO Registry has a statement on expressions of interest. First of all, we would like to thank ICANN staff and ICANN community to make this meeting really successful and safe. Remote participation is working really well, and I could attend many meetings regarding to new GTLD process. GMO Registry would like to express strong support to EOI program and any efforts to push new GTLD program faster. It seems like ICANN has made a lot of progress on studies about issues which have raised in past concerning on new GTLD program. I find many friends in Japan and Asia who are interested in applying for new GTLDs, not only for business. It's more about having more identity of Asian in beautiful world of Internet. This is going to be a great opportunity for all of us, especially for people in developing countries, and we would like to support them. I'm looking forward to seeing the EOI happening soon so we can push the new GTLD process ahead and see many good positive things happen on the Internet. Thank you, ICANN, and everybody in the ICANN community.
Thank you, and particularly thank you for the acknowledgement of the effort the staff has put into the remote participation. Rob, could I just ask you if we may be running into time pressures shortly, and we may have to start giving priority to people who haven't spoken before. So if you could just have an eye on your list and make sure we don't get into a problem where people haven't been heard. Herr Staub, and then we're coming to Izumi. Werner.
My name is Werner Staub. I'm speaking here in a personal capacity, and it's about the topic before EOI, namely this so-called three-character variance. I believe there's no such a topic. We have a three-character minimum length requirement, that is one topic, and we have another topic, which was the ID invariance. Is that correct?
Yes.
So it's not about the three-character
variance. It's the three-character length.
The fact that this title was like this on the agenda, as if there was a topic such as three-character variant, shows a little bit the amount of neglect collectively we have for this. We kind of don't care. And we should care, however. I think we have a workable solution now on the table for the three-character limit, which is lowered to two in some cases. However, we do not have a workable solution for the variants. It is simply not a good idea to say that some TLEs were for, technical or for the history of the technical evolution, for reasons linked to the history of technical evolution, there's a need for variance. This is not their fault. It is just simply a fact. And if you say that this could only be used by possibly half of the user because we only delegate one of the variants, if they need two variants, for instance, that is actually hurting quite a bit the development of these IDN strings. And the argument that I've seen in favor of that does not seem to hold. You say that we want to be sure that there's a technical solution to ensure that all the domains, that is, both variants, will be treated equally. If that had been applied before, then ICANN would never have accepted the IDN launch the way it was done in 2000, when, for instance, accented domains were allowed to be totally different and delegated to different people than non-accented domains, even though they actually should be regarded as variants on the second level. There are easy technical solutions for that. For instance, a registry can delegate both variants to the same name servers, and they can use a simple script just to see what are the IP numbers being pointed to. and they can enforce the equality between the two variants by a simple policy. It is not, there's not a need, there's no urgent need to the point of delaying the introduction just for that.
Thank you. Just first let me apologize for the typographical error, which was entirely my fault in conflating two issues. You're absolutely right, and I'm glad you weren't confused. We're talking about three-character length, and we were going to talk about variants, but we took it off because there's a lack of interest. It was prioritized lower down. I think we do have a solution for the three-character length, and in relation to variants, I can tell you that there's a board working group that's formed, and I'm hoping they'll be able to report tomorrow and a resolution in relation to variants. So thank you for separating those issues out, and I hope you'll be satisfied with the progress on both fronts. We come now to this microphone. There's a comment. There's comments from the board. Thank you. Quickly.
Just speaking as an author of RFCs on this, the particular topic of IDNA and a member of the board of the Unicode Consortium and various other roles, no, solutions are not simple. There are we believe there are solutions, but calling them simple is, does not help. And we are working real hard on both at staff level and at board level on figuring out what we can do about this. But, I mean, some of these things go back to errors in the design of Unicode, I'm sorry to say. And we have to work around them, but it's not simple.
Thanks, Harold. No further comment? Okay, then we come to Izumi.
Yes, my name is Izumi Aizu, speaking for myself. I'm a member of the at-large community. On the EOI, like many of your board members, perhaps, it's not a sort of a clear, single black or white decision or solution to satisfy every members of the community. So we need a good balance. For now, I'd like to just concentrate on one particular thing called city or geographic TLD. I have had several meetings with the city government or local government of Tokyo, Osaka, there are two, city and prefecture, Kyoto again too, and a few others. And they are naturally very interested in the possible application for them for the new GTLD or GOTLD. And then came the EOI relatively recently, like December. So usually these local governments' decision-making process is fairly long, like ICANN perhaps, a few months to more than a year, from the staff level to the senior level, and then to the top, and then the council, or you know these processes. So with that background, I have first of all one question. Is this EOI requires a full mandate of the consent or the non-objection of the local government? Is it clear now? Yes.
Mike, do you want to answer that?
Thanks, Peter. As I understand the EOI process, there is no consideration of the objection at this stage. Lodging of the EOI will launch the process, but will also create a pause period, during which people may be able to obtain the necessary local government or other support that they are seeking. If they then proceed with the EOI, they would need to supplement their application with all of the required documentation. The EOI would only require a very slim line application. Then, once the actual process launches, then the additional information would be required, including the letters of support and the like. It would then trigger the objection process. It would also trigger the payment of the balance of the application fee.
Thank you, Mike.
If I may?
Yes, Azumi.
So that puts local governments in an odd situation, perhaps. If they want to go for, but they cannot make the EOI application until the closure of the EOI, while the other, whoever wants to get this, apply for. It's a foreclosure, right? So, and if the city cannot really endorse that application, but they'd like to have the other guys, the other entity to run for. So they were, facing a very difficult situation.
Of course, bearing in mind that there is an objection process. So if somebody else were to apply for the same string, mm-hmm. the city would be able to object, and there would be significant grounds for objection, given that many cities do go ahead and proceed with trademark and other defensive registrations around their own names.
Okay, we're going to have to move on. Sorry, we're running out of time, and there's a lot of people behind you.
Okay.
Mr. Foody, it's your turn.
Thank you very much, and thank you to the board. Thanks to our host. It was a fantastic night last night. Thoroughly enjoyed it. On the expression of interest, Mark has just made the point that when you pay your $50,000, all you're really getting is the right to pay another $130,000 in whatever period of time it is. So what it means is that anybody stumping up the $50,000 to begin with has got to be absolutely certain that they are going to be able to meet the requirements of the DAG, whatever those requirements are, in order to not just be chucking their money down the toilet. The fact that so many people in this room have been aware of this process for 5 years and more, there is an incredible advantage to this particular group. So in order to really make I personally do not see any benefit for the expression of interest at all. But on the basis that you're going to go ahead with this, you've got to publicise it. Absolutely. You've got to broadcast it to everybody who is going to be wanting to be interested. Now, we can accuse people of being, you know, lazy and not bothering to be interested in ICANN and matters affecting domain names. But it's not just, you know, people who are lazy. I was lucky enough to speak to my MP in December, John Weston. I was lucky enough to speak to the Ministry for the Treasury in British Columbia as recently as January the 12th, and neither of them knew the first thing about new GTLDs. And that is an incredible failure, not just on their part, but on the part of the people who should be notifying this. So I've made the point repeatedly that what we really need is we need to email every registrant. In the last year, there have been 5 million .com registrations registered. And would those people have registered their domains had they known that these sort of changes were in the offing? So first of all, we've got to let the entire world know what is going on. We've then got to give them a reasonable length of time to decide whether or not they want to take part in this. And when we tell them about what's going on, we should let them know what the ultimate aim of new GTLDs is. And we're not talking about adding something that's going to be complementary to the .com. We're talking about something that's going to replace the current system. In the words of Harold Alverstrand, and I apologize, Harold, he said last year at the Seoul board meeting, "The place I see us going is with everything significant named as one level."
Okay, Mr. Foody, your time is up, and I'm just watching the length of the line growing and growing. So,
sure, thank you.
Thank you. I'm sorry. Let's go to Rob in the room.
Peter, I think we will have to acknowledge that this will be one of those instances where folks may want to go to the web to enter their remote comments. And even some of the statements already up here we aren't going to get to, it doesn't look like. The next comment is from Jothan Frakes, Minds and Machines, on the topic expression of interest. My name is Jothan Frakes. I'm the Chief Operating Officer of Minds and Machines, and I will do something refreshing and authentic and state that I am speaking in that capacity, though my personal position is aligned. I'd like to thank the staff, board, and community for their efforts and attention in looking at the expressions of interest as a means to allow some forward momentum. I am hopeful that those who seek to introduce delay to the overall time frame of new TLDs have not created doubt that the EOI would provide great benefits to the public interest this week. I'd add that although I had the distinct privilege of presenting this in Seoul, there were a great number of stakeholders and individuals in the community who participated in the proposal in Seoul and afterwards who deserve credit for the EOI. I am hopeful to see the board vote in favor of the EOI and recognize the benefits to the public interest and ICANN which are delivered with it. Whatever the decision taken by the board tomorrow, I request that if we do not see the EOI carried forward, that concrete dates be restored so that the institutional confidence in ICANN and the new TLD process are not set backward. Finally, it is the absence of dates and timelines that have created the situation of disadvantage to the public interest. Most notably, those that currently claim that the $55,000 or $185,000 cost of a TLD is out of reach. These parties, having the empowerment of timelines, can have success in obtaining grants, funding, or other manners of participating in the costs that exist not only in the EOI or application, but also the operational costs. Concluding that point, it is the absence of dates that disrupts the ability to fund these important initiatives for developing communities, as they have no way to illustrate the real needs that they have for important operational funding to realize the benefits of new TLDs for their stakeholders. I believe that in the absence of dates, the EOI can help illustrate the new TLD program is real and get those funding initiatives underway or approved. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Let's come to this microphone. That's Mr. Andruff.
Thank you, Chair. Ron Andruff, RNA Partners, member of the business constituency, but speaking here on my own behalf. Also, for full disclosure, we are applying for the .sport top-level domain. And I'd ask Kurt to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but as I understood, the final DAG in Brussels, the DAG in Brussels, it will hopefully be the final one, depending on public comment thereafter. And the question came to me about the communications plan starting before or after that. We've heard from many of our colleagues here during the course of the week, from the developing world in particular, that they are asking for information to be disseminated as rapidly as possible so that it can filter down through their communities to make sure everyone hears it. So I just want to also weigh in and bring my voice to this, that the board might consider bringing that accelerated program in terms of disseminating information about the process so that we really have a transparent process. Thank you.
Thank you very much. You go back to the room. Rob.
Thank you, Peter. This next statement from Tony Kirsch of OSS Registry International is on the topic of expression of interest. It's going to be longer than 3 minutes, so at 3 minutes I will stop, and then folks can refer to the record. Ladies and gentlemen of the board, firstly, let me extend my congratulations for what has been a great meeting thus far. Despite difficulties in the lead-up to the meeting, I want to publicly state to you and for the record that remote participation has been an incredible success, and the online meetings have been smooth, keeping me up till all hours here in Australia. Credit and acknowledgement must be given to the hardworking staff. I now wish to pose my humble assessment of the EOI process to the board for your consideration as you approach this vital decision tomorrow. Although undertaken in such a short period since the proactive approval in Seoul by the board to evaluate the EOI proposal, this is the best example I have personally seen of community collaboration and communication, and I applaud all of those who have participated for their efforts. In all honesty, I did not initially support the EOI. However, on further reflection, I've come to the conclusion that although not being perfect, it currently represents the best way for the community to actually go through the new GTLD process. However, please let me be clear about what I mean when I say actually go through the process. I'm not suggesting that the EOI represents a commitment from ICANN to potential applicants that the program will indeed go ahead. It does not. And further to this, the currently proposed model provides sufficient mechanisms to handle refunds should the program not go ahead for any reason. Whilst I fully understand that this is not the desire of ICANN to be involved with refunds, it is highly unlikely that it will be required, and applicants that are serious applicants will accept this limited risk. Further, I am not suggesting that approval of the EOI implies that the actual application process will go any faster that the community is comfortable with. Anyone that has been listening this week is aware that the EOI will not make the new GTLD application process go faster, as it is on a different path of acceptance and that it has completely different purpose. I understand that the board in voting tomorrow has a large decision to make and cannot do so lightly. However, I wish to state my opinion on the current state of play. we have overarching issues or other things that require consideration that I would like to discuss briefly and share my thoughts. One, malicious conduct. I fully support the introduction of the community-designed mechanisms such as the high security zone and zone file access and see this issue close to finalized. Two, vertical integration. I believe that the board will be voting on this at some point today, and I support the fact that an EOI could not proceed without clarification of the process. And Peter, I'll conclude on this. Three, trademark protection. I think that the community is fundamentally in agreement with our current position, perhaps with some exception to the post-delegation dispute resolution process, which does require some extra work, in my view. And we'll leave the rest for the...
Thank you, Rob. Let's come to Ms. Beckley on this microphone here.
Thank you, Chair. Board. My name is Sophia Bekele, and I represent Dot Connect Africa Organization. Mine is not a specific comment. It's more of a general. First, let me thank the ICANN board for coming to the continent, to Kenya, and how successful the meeting was this week. ICANN continues to demonstrate that it's a truly international organization, and the local host has been excellent and executed a well-organized conference. Dot Connect is a TLD applicant and as formally endorsed by various regional key regional organizations and the African Union, which represents the head of state of government of Africa. And given that we know ICANN is working for several years on new TLDs, we believe you're close to addressing adequately addressing the overarching issues. And we look forward to assisting ICANN in any way we can in finalizing these overarching issues. Once this is done, we believe that Dot Africa looks forward to bringing the African continent and the credible benefits that a continental TLD promises. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you. Stephen Talitz has a brief question on the expression of interest.
Sorry, Rob, I'm going to hold there. There's people in the room who haven't spoken. I'm going to start giving them priority over anybody who, whether they're in the room or online. We'll come to you, sir, first.
Thank you, Peter. My name is George Bundy from BRS Media, and we've run the AM and FM TLD for 12 years. And for full disclosure, we've broadcast our intent to be an applicant in the new TLD process for Dot Radio. And we encourage the board to move forward with the expression of interest. We see the new top-level domain market and consumer choice and innovation that it brings to be an unparalleled level. And as an example, we have 12 years of just that. In a non-legacy TLD fashion, not ComNet and org, we've seen some very interesting things done in our space. And we do anticipate the same thing happening in Dot Radio, Dot Connect, or any of the other TLDs have been announced. So we encourage the board tomorrow to vote yes. And thank you for your time.
Thank you. Rob, is there somebody in the room who we haven't heard from and give them some priority?
Yes, sir. Casper Veltheim from Bayern Connect GmbH on the issue of expression of interest. As the CEO of Bayern Connect GmbH, which is a small registry applying for Dot Bayern, I would like to express my support for the EOIs and urge the board to move forward with it. One, the EOI shows that ICANN is serious about getting the new GTLD program going. Two, our investors are getting nervous. The EOIs will show them that the ICANN is committed to the GTLD process and is really going to do it. Three, the EOIs provide important information to ICANN that will make the whole process clear, predictable, and easy to communicate.
Thanks, Rob. I'm going to ask the staff if they're going to change the timer, please, to 2 minutes so that we make sure we get through this. I'm sorry to have to do that, but it seems fair. We must be at this microphone here. Sir, your turn. It's your turn.
Thank you very much. My name is David Swara. I'm from Digital Age Institute here in Nairobi, Kenya. And thanks for coming all the way to here. It's an honor to be here. I have a general comment. We were just listening to this lady, Sylvia Bekele, and I think there's a very interesting thing with these top-level domains, especially .Africa. When I set foot here in Africa the first time in 1997, everybody here wanted a .com, everybody. And if you had a .com, you are something valued at the music. What I can say is that if the .Africa becomes a reality, we are one of those who will be changing from .com to .Africa. We'll be very proud of running a business here in Africa, very successful in ICT, and would be very proud to market, for instance, also our digital journal in the US. We have more than 2,000 readers over there, and the domain for that, where they download it from, is a .com. That's, of course, fine, but we are Africa-based. We are Africa IT, and we're actually proud of it. I'm the only white in the company. There are 27 others. They're Kenyans, and they are on the same top level as any other IT staff around the world. So I'll just also here commend very much on this work done by .connect Africa, and we are one of those who are eagerly waiting for .africa to come up.
Thanks. Thank you for that local insight. That's excellent. Back to you, Rob.
David Taylor with the IPC on the expression of interest. I can see certain advantages and disadvantages to the EOI, and as is often the case, it depends where you sit as to whether you see primarily the advantages or the disadvantages. If the EOI does go ahead, and there appears to be some considerable comment against it, then I would hope that some of the amendments proposed are taken into account. One of these should be an option for applicants and the string in question to be confidential, as entities may well wish to keep a brand launch of a business plan confidential, and to force this out in an EOI published could have severe consequences on that launch and strategy.
Thank you. We come to Tony Harris.
Yes, this is Tony Harris speaking on behalf of the Latin American and Caribbean Federation of the Internet and Electronic Commerce. I just wanted to say I'm very encouraged by the way things seem to be going finally towards the application gate. I think it's no secret we're in line to be an applicant for .lat, Latin America. And I would really like to restate support for any and every action that would lead us as soon as possible to the application window. I would also like to add, with respect to application fees, that I support expressions I've heard in different instances of this meeting, which relate to the possibility that non-profit organizations might have some special consideration as far as application fees are concerned, especially in the developing world. I think this might merit some attention from the board when the DAG is finalized. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tony. Back to you, Rob.
Thank you, Peter. Nick Wood of IPC/Marks on the expressions of interest, a statement and a question. Many corporations participate in expressions of interest in their course of business. It's rare in Europe, at least, for a failure to submit an expression of interest to lock a corporation out of a process. Here's the question. When communicating the EOI, if it goes ahead, will consideration be given to calling it, quote, stage one of the application process, close quote, in order to convey the importance of this phase to all parties?
The answer is yes, we will be looking at what we call it if we go ahead with it. Now, I'm going to exercise the same rule here, if I might, and the first three at the microphone have all spoken before. Can I ask you to give way, please, to the two at the back of the line? Nee, we'll come to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you to those in front of you in the queue for appreciating this.
Thank you very much for this opportunity. I think I'm very pleased with how ICANN is trying to move forward on the subject. In spite of the challenges and the difficulties. So we'd like to encourage you to move quickly. In particular, considering the environment that I'm coming from, and I'm part of the .Africa interest group, and we believe that you need to communicate the information as widely as you can, because for our efforts, some level of community building and consensus we consider as essential. And so the more it gets widely communicated, the better we can bring people together to form that consensus that we think we require. So beyond that, I say thank you very much, and we'll appreciate it if you move the information rapidly and as quickly as possible.
Thank you, Nee. Rob, is there somebody new in the room?
Not yet.
All right, let's come to the microphone. Steve and Avery, could I ask you to do the same and give way to a new speaker, the lady behind Avery? It's your turn. Thank you.
Thank you so much. My name is Caroline Juma from Kenya Computer Resources. I'm here today to give support to .Africa, that as championed by Sophia Bekele. Now, different countries in Africa are currently looking at ways of working together, especially in the ICT arena, shared services being the way to go. Dot Africa would be a key enabler in this regard. When talking of promoting and enhancing internet, as I've read on the brochures that you've given us, what greater way would it be to have Dot Africa promote that? I remember when .ke came in, and most of us rushed. I'm a .ke, and I'm very proud of it. So you were suddenly very proud to be identified as Kenyans because you had a .ke domain. Now, with .Africa, this pride will even be bigger. Shared services will be enabled. We'd be able to work as a continent. Africa is a giant. It will be a positively visible giant through .Africa. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, and thank you for having us in your country. Can I just say to anybody else on the line, if you could focus your comments on policy and how we can help get the policy right. It's not helpful to us today to be hearing endorsements of individual TLDs or also urges for us to hurry. We get the message. Tell us how we can hurry rather than just urging us to do so. That would be the best use of time from our perspective. Thank you. Rob, is there nobody there? So then we come to this line. Thank you, sir.
My name is McTim. I self-identify with the African Internet Technical Community. I don't want you to hurry. Here in Kenya, we say, poli poli, slowly, slowly. And I want you to sign the route first, do IPv6 first, do IDNs first. Then we can focus on new gTLDs. So I want us to get the technical stuff right first, and then we can move on to the nice-to-haves, new gTLDs. As much as I would love to see .Africa helping the African internet community come together, I want us to do the other things that are the needful, as we say, in Africa. Thank you.
Thank you. Back to the side. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Joe Cady. I'm with a company called SUG Interactive, one of these days of Dot Frogans, speaking on behalf of myself. Just with this, I've noticed that with the EOI, I seem to sense that there's an inherent risks in that if you have any window of opportunity to make any policy or process decisions after the EOI is launched, there will be a great temptation for the information that you gather that it affect these decisions that can still be made. And just as a quick metaphor, you raise up a windsock to see which way the wind is blowing. Once that windsock is up in the air, you have a tendency to say, and that way's north. And since the winds do change, and the nature of subsequent rounds in the gTLDs, and everything could change, be careful about what indelible imprint is left by policy that is made once the EOI is, the information is gathered. Thanks.
Thank you. Behind all three of you have spoken. Let's stay on this side to somebody who hasn't spoken. Can you come forward? Thank you.
Still on EOI, or can we move on to...
I would like to get off EOI. Is there anybody in the queue who wants to say something new about EOI? Something new, Anthony? Fire ahead. We're running out of time, and we're not going to get time to talk about the fees, economic studies, DNS cert, a number of other priority topics. So just recognize that you're taking up the time of other people's topics from now on. Thank you.
Thank you, Peter. I'll be very brief, and I have a suggestion with regard to the communications plan. Today, there are several hundred million domain names, and registrars in the gTLD space are those that have the ability to communicate to customers. So what I would like to suggest is that in your communications plan, you provide a very simple one-page or less notice that you can give to registrars and ask them voluntarily to communicate it to their customers. There would be a link somewhere to the new gTLD area on the ICANN website, and I think that because owning a domain name is probably a very good indication of someone who might consider applying for a gTLD, this would be an excellent way to reach tens of millions of people, and I would encourage you to do the same thing with the ccTLD operators who also have customer records and the ability to email them in order to alert people in the developing world. Thank you.
Anthony, be careful what you wish for. First of all, there'd be the problem in my country of this anti-spam legislation. But second, do we really want to start using this avenue Imagine what law enforcement might ask us to do in relation to the use of that communication channel.
It's a suggestion, maybe useful. Thank you.
Okay. Steve, we've all had a turn. I think let's set the person at the very back of the line. I don't think we've heard from you yet, or have we?
No.
In which case, we'll come to you in a minute, Rob.
It's on the question of fees. Are we there yet?
We can be. Go ahead.
If that's okay, thank you. My name is Andrew Mack of AM Global Consulting, and I am a new member of the BC, so for the first time I get to say I'm speaking on my own behalf. First, to extend my personal thanks to the Kenyan organizing team. It was a wonderful event, like a lot of people have mentioned. It's shown incredible warmth, but also Kenya is much more than safaris and crafts, and I think that the meeting really has shown how Kenya is becoming a true internet leader in the region, and I'm very, very pleased to see it. My comment about fees is about GTLD applications, and specifically about encouraging GTLD operators to buy the entire six-pack instead of just one bottle of Tusker. And here's what I mean. My concern is that given the costs of the applications, most of the new and existing registry operators are going to have a hard time making a business case for building out TLDs in some of the smaller scripts, like Cambodian, like Georgian, or just up the road in Ethiopia, like Amharic. And this could leave some scripts out in the cold, and I don't think we as a community want that. The way I understand it, the new GTLD implementation plan will require potential operators to apply for each IDN version separately and pay full fees for each one. But instead of this one-size-fits-all, or if you will, a single-bottle pricing, why not apply the supermarket principle to the process? You know, when you go to the market and buy a six-pack, it costs less than if you buy one beer. So, for example, registry operators applying for multiple GTLDs, why not try to evaluate technical qualifications together and look for other economies of scale that could lower costs for the applicant and for ICANN and encourage the building out of new IDNs? You can argue whether or not some sort of reduced pricing might be appropriate, as Tony mentioned, and to make it easier for countries like Kenya to participate more fully in the new GTLD game. For example, if there is interest in a Dot Masai, like Wycliffe mentioned, and I think it's worth considering. But either way, if we're really serious about making the internet available as much as possible to everyone in their own language, we need to look for ways to reduce fees.
Thank you.
Helping applicants create package deals. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob, we have one online.
Yes, sir. Annalisa Roger from Dot Green. Comment on expressions of interest. Thank you for the excellent remote participation offered for this ICANN Nairobi meeting. As a not-for-profit organization interested in applying for a new TLD, we would like the board to vote yes on EOIs, as it will enable us to better prepare our community and our fundraising efforts by being able to show in our business plan that new TLDs are real. Thank you very much for this public comment opportunity.
Thank you. Let's come to the microphone. Bertrand, it's your turn.
Bertrand Lachapelle, I'm the French GAC representative, but I would like to start by quoting the wording of the GAC communique that we finalized yesterday on this topic of the EOI that might be of interest for the community. The mandatory nature of the current expression of interest model turns it into a slot reservation step and not a mere data gathering exercise as initially intended and presented. Opening slot reservation and conferring rights to the participants against payment of a fee would constitute a de facto launch of the new GTLD application process. Should the board intend to use an EOI mechanism as proposed, the GAC, after interaction with the rest of the community, formally advises the board to launch it only after the overarching issues have been resolved and the applicant guidebook finalized. In that context, the GAC questions the benefit of pursuing further a separate AOI process, which would distract attention and resource from finalizing the new GTLD program. The GAC believes that public forum comments on the AOI and the face-to-face discussions in Nairobi have helped identify ideas and concerns that can usually inform the development of DAG V4 on which the community should focus. I would like to add, if you allow me, just a few personal comments, as the time is very limited. When I say personal, I mean on behalf of the French government. The first thing is, the purpose of the EOI is to provide a timeline, to bring back a timeline. The way it is constructed today is that it provides an artificial timeline. And is it really a service to the applicants who have been waiting for a while to basically, as Avery said in one of their comments, have the right to pay to stand in line without any indication on when the final application will take place?
Thanks, Bertrand. I have to cut you off at that point and move to the next one. Thank you. Steve.
The business, Steve Del Bianco with NetChoice. This is the official statement of the business constituency with which we will submit in writing with regard to the EOI, and I'll summarize it with just 3 points. First, the business constituency opposes the EOI because the EOI consideration and execution has become a distraction from resolving the unresolved issues, both the overarching and otherwise. Second, the EOI is not a substitute for an economic study. It may indicate supply of TLDs, but is not a measure of demand by registrants. Third, we think the EOI is unclear and ambiguous about its objective. That is it data gathering or is it a mandatory pre-registration? And that presents a dilemma. Either applicants are forced to invest blind because they don't know if the rules will be changed after the EOI is over, or by accepting funds from EOI applicants under draft rules, that could make it impossible for ICANN to subsequently change those rules in important ways. And ironically, that's even if the information that we gathered in the EOI reveals serious new concerns that must be addressed. Will we be allowed to address them, given that we've accepted money? That's the business constituency position. I'll add one item from NetChoice member who's very concerned about the gap between the publication of the strings at the end of the EOI and the beginning of accepting of applications. If that gap stretches out because of some delays or policy considerations, it leaves a lot of applicants exposed dangerously. Picture an applicant who's string is now out there, and then there are a lot of parties that want to discourage them from having that string. They could end up being subject of legal harassment and otherwise, when in fact, if the application had begun, they're protected within ICANN's procedure, where objections have to be handled within the process. Thank you.
Thank you. Very good point. Izumi.
Izumi is again. First, on this argument, I'd like to ask the board to consider two sides, the demand side as well as the supply side for the EOI. I'm not going into details about that, but then 2 points I just tried to mention earlier about the city geographic names. I'd like to suggest two things. One is to prepare some kind of exceptional fee structure for the small cities who needs the, or who got the government positive consent or support, which is not new if you see the CCTLD. Many of the new IDM CCTLD applicants, they have to pay $25,000 except there are some cases where it's case by case. You can talk with ICANN staff. Likewise, it could be a minor improvement for the implementation. The second one is a kind of fee refund. Currently, it's very difficult if you go for the EOI. And as mentioned in many governments, city governments, they have to go to the formal process. On the other hand, they have to apply before its closure. Otherwise, you'll miss one of the unknown years. On the other hand, they may not be clear enough yet for the details that some of the public servants have to go through as a public policy procedure in the large cities or small cities. So in case of certain well-defined exceptional cases, which can be detailed later, that fee can be refunded. So that will help the many applicants who are on behalf of the citizens to join this new game. Thank you.
Okay, I'm just going to take the sense of the room. We are now out of time on this topic, but I'm happy to use the time available for the later topics if there's less interest in those. The remaining topics are the accountability and transparency review. Can I have an indication by a show of hands from the floor how many people would like to comment on the accountability and transparency review? I see a number. How many want to talk about DNS security, DNS cert? Slightly less. How many want to talk about, how many have other issues they want to raise that are not on the agenda? All right, well, in view of that, I'm going to close discussion on the new GTLDs program. Thank you for those who've contributed. We will come back to it, and of course, as we've said, we will take comments online and we'll give answers online. Can we move to the accountability and transparency review topic and have people who wish to speak about that? Thank you very much. Mr. Foody.
Thank you very much, Peter. On the accountability and transparency issue, I tend to find that people tend to behave best when they know people are watching what they're doing. And in that regard, we had the Registrants' Rights Charter A year ago in Mexico, part of the RIA agreement was that there would be a registrant's rights charter published within 31 days, I think it was. As it happened, I don't think it was published until sometime this year. Nevertheless, I'm looking through the registrant's rights charter, and it strikes me as a registrant that the one right that I am most interested in is being notified of any material changes, any changes that I can or my registrars might be contemplating that would materially affect my domain name. And don't forget, when we talk about domain names, companies are basing entire marketing strategies around domain names. There was a guy in Seoul who quoted a figure of $3 trillion, and I've no idea how accurate that was, but to me it's believable. Thank you. So the registrant's right charter is we should be notified by email of every change that might materially affect us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Rob, somebody online?
We have one question online, Peter. Michaela Nylon from Black Knight asks, how can ICANN marry its commitment to transparency and accountability with its insistence on a unilateral contract change clause in the draft applicant guidebook?
I'm not sure now is the time to attempt that. Aisha?
Thank you. Aisha Hassan from the International Chamber of Commerce. ICC submitted comments on the affirmation review panels. This is the first team, and we see this as a pilot. We look forward to building on this experience and improving the process for identifying candidates and reviewing them. Given the time constraints and the outreach constraints as a result of this being such a pilot, we would strongly encourage focus on qualifications and experience. This is an extremely important review for the business community as well as for ICANN as an organization. We may not have all of the diversity elements in place in the pool of candidates that would be considered this time around. We can certainly all work together for future panels to improve that. But again, we would strongly encourage focus on qualification and experience of the highest priority. Thank you.
Thank you for that. Come back to you, Rob. Is there somebody... No, we come to Mr. Zook.
Gina Lingerni, Jonathan Zook.
Jambo.
Kanzo Yamaji Haifumbatiki, loosely translated from Swahili, a handful of water cannot be grasped. And if we think about it, water has a lot of positive characteristics. It has a certain degree of transparency, and a certain amount of water can allow things to grow as well, and it's very well thought of here. And similarly, I think the ICANN staff can be congratulated for a flood of documents and remote participation that amount to a great deal of transparency. And certainly, they can't be accused of depriving the new GTLD process with of any water. However, the foundation of accountability is solidity. And that's one thing that water lacks, is the solidity necessary for accountability. The foundation of this organization is its contracts. If one were to ask to describe this organization in one sentence, I think that sentence would probably involve the creation of contracts. And so I have to echo Michaela's concerns about the notion of unilateral changing of contracts after they've been established. At a time when transparency and accountability are at the top of the agenda, ironically at the bottom of this one, it seems strange to be discussing this idea of unilateral changes to contracts after they've been signed. I think that idea is all wet, and like water, makes it difficult for ICANN to be grasped and to be truly accountable. Thank you.
Thank you. Rob? No? Marilyn Cade.
Thank you. My name is Marilyn Cade. I would like to speak as an individual, but I will say that my comments are echoed both in writing, in earlier comments, and I think will be echoed throughout the rest of the meeting by many in the business community. We welcomed the affirmation of commitments, which came at the end of an extensive consultation process that was undertaken by ICANN itself, that was undertaken by the President's Strategy Committee, but it was a wide consultation with the community. And the community spoke, as I said earlier, and called for ICANN to establish further and enhanced accountability mechanisms. So what I want to say here is let's not lose sight of the fact our work on that is not done, and we as the community have to also work on that. Moving forward with this first review panel is what we need to do, but you know, we need to also go back to what we're going to do in parallel on working on enhancing our accountability mechanisms. Now I'm going to declare a material interest in the outcome of whether or not ICANN establishes enhanced accountability mechanisms. I'm a registrant, and I believe in ICANN, and I want ICANN to be all it can be, and I know we have to be accountable.
Thank you. Monsieur Bachelet.
Thank you. This first review team, it's a very important one for the future of ICANN, but like Marlene says, there are a lot of things that we can do without this review or in parallel to this review. And we would like very much that the advice or the comments we made on any subject as an at-large community, we have a feedback on that, and it's not the case. And it's a matter of accountability and transparency for our member, for the member of the LSEs. I just want to take one example about the strategic plan. We still need to have a feedback. We need to have a loop. We make comments. We need to have a return from the board and from the staff about those subjects. It's very important for our community. Thank you very much.
Thank you. And the last one on accountability and transparency. Steve.
Steve Del Bianco for NetChoice Coalition. NetChoice submitted comments during the comment period on this, and we suggested a definition for a key term in the affirmation of commitments and the measurement criteria on the teams, and that's the term global public interest. It appears in paragraph 4, and then again in several of the review teams, including the transparency and accountability team that's going to go first. We suggest that there's no definition for that, and therefore it has the danger of becoming a catch-all phrase that means what anybody wants it to mean. We proposed a definition that ICANN try to adopt the notion of availability and integrity of the DNS as being in the global public interest. Availability meaning 24/7/365 in all scripts and languages around the world. That's the availability of the DNS, and it's a broader definition than just security and stability. And availability of registrants means being able to get all the names that aren't snatched up by insiders, and it means being able to get to IDNs. Integrity means that when I do a resolution, I am getting the actual site I'm trying to reach. I'm not being the subject of fraud, phishing, farming, botnets. That's the kind of availability, keeping that integrity together on the DNS side. I think we run a real risk of just letting each team define that term on their own, because if it means everything to anyone, the term public interest could mean nothing at all. Thank you.
What's the prospect of a working group self-forming around this concern?
One here.
And applause.
Werner.
Okay. Thank you. Bertrand.
Bertrand Lachapelle, French government. On accountability and transparency review, I want to highlight, as we've commented before, the importance of making both a qualitative as well as quantitative analysis, and in particular to insist on the three words that are at the end of paragraph 9.1, i.e. transparency, accountability, and public interest, as Steve said. I want to take this opportunity to address two elements in terms of accountability and transparency. The first, on transparency, we would have appreciated if the reports from the staff to the board regarding the AOI were made public, because I have personal reasons and personal testimony to see that in the summary of the comments of the second round, some of the comments that have been put forward have been actually mischaracterized, not intentionally, but factually. The second thing regarding accountability is that in the public forum, the allocation of time slot has to be fair and equal. However, due to the fact that very few governments have either the willingness or the capacity to speak in this space, the allocation of time is necessarily somewhat skewed. The result is that when I take 3 minutes to express the position that 36 governments have taken the pain to formulate in response of the, or in follow-up of the request that they've made to the board
to continue, I suppose, that in a certain way deserves at least as much consideration as the comments of one individual, however respectable he is, that has the intention of providing maybe one application. And so, in terms of accountability, it's extremely important that any public forum or any public comment forum is not just a show of hands on numbers, but that also is taken into account the nature or the direct interests of the different actors. Finally, I just take the opportunity as it blinks 1-0 to make the announcement that the cross-community on categories is room 101 at 4 o'clock this afternoon, first floor.
Thank you. And Rob, we have someone online.
Yes, sir. Jeff Newman, in his individual capacity, has an accountability question. He would like to know, has any progress been made on making staff reports to the board public?
No, but it's something I'm very keen on. I think it's going to improve the visibility of amongst other things, of the amount of work the staff do and the amount of work the board does, but I think it will also improve the decision-making process. Still on accountability? Still on accountability? Okay, well, let's close accountability after you three, and we'll move to DNS cert. I'm not sure which microphone I'm at now. I think Werner, it must be you.
Yes, Werner Staub in personal capacity. Regarding accountability, I looked at the process to find the reviewers for the, the AOC review process, and I was struck that it is organized in a way to make sure that all the reviewers have been cleared by the respective supporting organizations. I would suggest it would be a good idea for the selectors, the final selectors, to take at least some reviewers who have not been endorsed, because the current process of only taking those would mean that any dissident would actually be excluded.
But the trouble with that idea is that they have to be representatives of the community, and that's the process for checking whether they are a representative of the community. It's up to that community to choose by its own mechanisms who its representatives are.
That leads me to an important point. I heard you use the word representative in a sense that is very worrisome when you compare it to another sense of representative. In GTLDC, we talk about representative institutions in the sense of, I hope at least, an institution that is legitimized to act and speak on behalf of the respective community. And you seem to be using the word representative in the sense of being a specimen of the species, which is not exactly the same thing.
Well, I hope I don't do that. I'm trying to use the word representative as someone who is actually authorized, not just a member of the group, but actually has some of the imprimatur of the group behind them. But, Avery.
Yes. Thank you. Avery Doria, again, speaking for myself. In terms of the accountability and transparency, I have a couple hopes of the information that will be available to the people doing that. So on the question of the board reports, whether they've become available to the rest of us by then, I'm certainly hoping that they are available to that review team. In terms of the archives of internal dialogues within the staff on why and how they're doing things, I'm hoping that those will also be available to those folks, obviously within the umbrella of confidentiality that they will have. And then finally, I'd like to request that we consider, while doing this, certain open consultations by those review teams that perhaps could be held on the Friday afternoons after the meeting has closed, so it's not part of the meeting, of the Brussels and the meeting after, and announced in enough time so people can make their plans that way, so that the public also does have an ability to consult with these panels. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll try and take those on board. Jonathan.
Yes, Jonathan Zook from the Association for Competitive Technology. But I guess whom I'm speaking on behalf of is probably ICANN as an idea in the context of the great deal of scrutiny I think this organization is under. And I want to say again what I've said many, many times, and I apologize for that, but I believe that it's a mistake to leave all of the terms of reference of these reviews to these review teams. I do think that metrics and measures of success for accountability, transparency, and all of the other things that will be reviewed by this process should be the responsibility of the community and the organization up front. And we need to, and just because the AOC has forced metrics upon us doesn't mean that these review committees should be the ones to define them. I think they should come from the community, and that the criteria on which the organization is judged by these review committees should be determined in advance. Thank you.
Thank you. That's the end of accountability and transparency. Is there anyone who wants to make a comment on DNS cert and security? Rod does, and Steve Crocker does. And Rod cedes to Steve. Dr. Crocker.
Thank you. I want to speak in my role as chair of the Security and Stability Advisory Committee and address a remark to Rod Beckstrom in his role as CEO and president of the organization. In your remarks to the GAC earlier this week, you emphasized the importance of increased work on security. As chair of the ICANN Security and Stability Advisory Committee, this is heartwarming to hear. However, you also said the DNS is more fragile and vulnerable today than it has ever been, and it could stop at any given point in time, literally. Some of our members and others outside of our committee have approached me for clarification of the statement. There has been enormous improvement in the operational resiliency of the major DNS operations at both the root level and the TLD level. For example, Rodney Jaffe, senior official of Neustar and former founder and CTO of UltraDNS, which is now part of Neustar, one of the largest domain name system operators, wrote, "As the operator of registries for two TLDs and authoritative DNS for hundreds of thousands of domains, we do not see a full-scale attack on our systems, nor have we reported such a situation other than the ever-present, short-lived DDoSes that have reduced in frequency and size over the last 2 years. Let me ask, on behalf of the technical community committed to enhancing the security and stability of the domain name system, that we work together to gain greater clarity on the specific vulnerabilities that exist in today's domain name system, and from that, the specific improvements that will have the greatest value toward improving security of the overall system. The Security and Stability Advisory Committee was created with the specific role of advising on these matters, and we stand ready, willing, and able to assist in this work. Thank you."
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve. Can we move to Rod?
Sure. Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, for the outstanding work that you've been doing and incredible time you've been putting in and addressing so many issues. And I wanted to share some background on my comments yesterday, all of which I feel were accurate from my perspective as CEO of ICANN, but with the humility of recognizing that world-class engineers have designed the Internet through the ITF and many people are involved in the ecosystem. Let me provide some context. Since I took office 8 months ago, I have met with many registry operators and registrar operators around the world. I've even participated in dedicated discussions, informal discussions, with those parties, and this the information I just received from one of the DNS providers that have shared information with you is the first time I've heard of a decrease in attacks. I have been told by many, many parties of increasing attacks and even outages in registrars and registries. I have to take that at what I hear it at. Those parties don't generally wish to disclose publicly those transactions, and I think the industry can do more to be transparent about that, but I have heard growing concerns from the largest parties, from some of the smallest registry operators around the world. I have heard as recently as this week that they have only begun to look at cybersecurity and the security of their systems and the integrity of their systems from attack and from data manipulation and usage for different attacks. So many concerns have been brought to me by major CEOs of registry, registrars, and different operators around the world. I'd like to propose, and I'm very happy to hear that the ESSEC is going to look at this. I'd like to mention a couple of dilemmas we have. And actually, let me give you some other background. Before I went to the GAC meeting yesterday, I was told that there was a set of governments that were going to try to block ICANN moving forward with a DNS cert. Okay? I have experience working with governments and discussions on authorities, and I've seen those discussions and debates stall and thwart critical cybersecurity efforts. And I didn't, in the ICANN context, or even in that meeting, Several countries came up to me afterwards, representatives, and said, we very much do want to do a DNS cert and be engaged in it with you. Please move ahead. Please involve us. And thank you for what you said, including another one that approached me last night and offered the assistance of introducing another 20 countries into such a plausible effort. At the same time, I'm not presupposing that a DNS cert would be inside ICANN as opposed on the outside. I do believe, let me also share this. So some governments might not want ICANN to do anything in DNS cert or in cybersecurity efforts. Much of the community wants ICANN's role to be extremely limited. One of the other dilemmas that we need to face, and I like Steve's proposal of a group to look at DNS availability because it's more than just about security and stability. I want to quickly read from the affirmation of commitments, paragraph 3. This document affirms key commitments by the Department of Commerce and ICANN, including commitments to preserve the security, stability, and resiliency of the DNS. Preserve it. Secondly, paragraph subpoint D, facilitate international participation in DNS technical coordination. As a CEO, I feel that ICANN is probably living up to the facilitation of DNS technical coordination at some level. As a CEO, I am concerned we're not living up to our contractual commitment of preserve the security of, which is very strong language. And my concern was that as an organization, after the community supported, albeit with a lot of debate, the concept of a DNS cert somewhere, the notion that governments might seek to block ICANN from moving forward or the community from working on this through an ICANN platform was very distressing to me. I think the community needs to engage in some process, perhaps in what Steve said as a working group, to discuss what does the affirmation of commitment specifically mean with respect to the security and stability of the domain name system, and also what does it mean with respect to the facilitation of the technical coordination, because there's other bodies that are involved in that. So as a CEO, I can say we need clarification, and I think that goes beyond just the SX role, which is critical. But we need to define those expectations, because otherwise we have a contract where we're committing to do something, but we have a bottom-up policy and community process, parts of which may say you shouldn't do that at all. So how do we resolve those two? I don't know the answer to that, but I think we need to have a process. We need to discuss it. And the other comment I'm going to make is one of the concerns I have as a CEO is that as an industry or as ICANN, depending upon how you look at it, I have not yet been told of a comprehensive model of the domain name system, a model that can be tested and simulated for different attacks. Not that any model is ever perfect, but without a model that can assess the entire DNS system and how it's affected by attacks and what its vulnerabilities are, how can we know of its ultimate ability to withstand new attacks? And so I would also like us to investigate as a community and had good discussions with ESSEC on that, and that may be the place, or maybe ICANN's a place, but here's the next dilemma we need to discuss. ICANN's fundamental business model is being supported by domain name registrars and registries, typically in advanced countries, okay? Because many registries around the world, some perhaps most, do not contribute financially to ICANN. At the same time, those registries are asking us and me for security assistance in what they're doing, capacity building, training, hotlines, et cetera. So how do we resolve that issue? There needs to be a discussion or a debate in the community. We're very open to it. But until we have a comprehensive model, until I hear that all registries and registrars are secure, I am concerned. And I've heard even this week of the concerns that others have. So at the same time, I defer for ultimate technical advice and judgment to the ESSEC and to other groups in the community. And I look forward to a discussion. I do hope we can create one or more working groups on this topic, and I look forward to participating and moving the ball forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Rod. Chris.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you, Steve, for your comments. Rod, for your comments, I'd like to read to you a letter that the Country Code Name Supporting Organization has written today to Rod. Dear Rod, I'm writing to convey the CCNSO Council and members' concerns regarding your comments made to the joint meeting of the ICANN Board and the Governmental Advisory Committee on Tuesday, the 9th of March. Your inflammatory comments to governmental representatives regarding, in your view, the precarious state of the security of the DNS have the potential to undermine the effective and productive relationships established under ICANN's multi-stakeholder model. Your alarming statement to the GAC infers that current security efforts are failing. This could cause great concern among governments regarding how elements of critical internet resources are operated and managed in their countries. In particular, your remarks have the potential to damage the effective relationships that many CCTLD operators have developed with their national administrators. In the circumstances, it is difficult to comprehend why, despite a brief discussion on your DNS cert proposal, the full details of your security-related concerns were not raised during your meeting with the CCNSO earlier this week. The CCNSO Council is also concerned about your intention to write to governments about their DNS, asking whether or not such DNS is able to withstand the perceived new levels of attacks. This has the potential of compromising the manner in which CCTLD managers in those countries operate. It also has the potential to undermine CCTLD managers' ongoing efforts to make their DNS more robust and resilient against attacks. We urge that if such measure is to be taken, it be first dealt with through the CCNSO. Further, your comments discount the huge efforts of many of the ICANN community to ensure the ongoing security and stability of the DNS, including the Root Service System Advisory Committee, Security and Stability Advisory Committee, and the CCNSO. It diminishes the efforts of those that collaborate with ICANN, such as the IETF and the CERT community. In addition, a number of the top 20 registries in the CCNSO state that you have not spoken to them on this topic. At a broader level, your statement has the potential to strengthen the positions of those that criticise ICANN and who would prefer to see changes to how internet numbering and naming resources are managed. The CCNSO Council would like to reiterate that security remains a core strategic and operational priority for the CCTLD community, and we remain strongly committed to working with ICANN, other internet stakeholders and governments to ensure the stable and secure operation of the DNS. Our concerns lie not with your focus on security issues, but with your precipitated unilateral analysis of such an important issue and the public and inflammatory manner by which your views have been communicated. We agree that as the CEO of ICANN, it is your responsibility to address these issues, but it is equally your responsibility to do so through ICANN's bottom-up, consensus-based, multi-stakeholder model. It is also the responsibility of those in positions of influence within ICANN to show due care when making statements on complex, cross-cutting issues to ensure effective analysis and stakeholder engagement without unnecessary confusion or concern. Nearly finished. Regarding the issue at hand, we suggest that ICANN work with all relevant internal and external stakeholders to develop a clear analysis of the current mechanisms in place to ensure the ongoing security of the DNS. As a first step, we urge you to share with us and other stakeholders the underlying facts or studies that originally led you to make your statements. Only after analysing the entire security landscape with the buy-in of all stakeholders can ICANN develop a clear strategy and operating plan for improvement. The CCNSO stands ready to contribute to this process. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Chris, I just want to say thank you very much for sharing that letter and those comments. I'll be responding with a letter to those. Also to say I think it really would be a great contribution to the community if the CCTLD operators could share transparently the security experiences they've had on a specific basis so that a level of comfort could be achieved. But perhaps that could be done through the working groups and bottom-up process you proposed.
Okay. Steve?
Thank you. Steve DelBianco with NetChoice. Comments are my own. And I think the CEO's role is to raise the alarm when he or she sees the need to do so. I think that's appropriate. And as to the CEO's direct style of communication, that's no surprise. It's exactly what the corporate world is all about. So I do think you're right to sell the alarm, right to sound the alarm, but maybe not so right to rush to the conclusion that we need to build a DNS cert to solve it. Now, I know you clarified earlier that it might be inside, it might be outside, and that's an important distinction because, to use the chair's analogy of some 3 hours ago with respect to burglars, remember burglar-proofing the house? The chair said that just because I can't make a perfectly burglar-proof house, that's not going to stop me from building the house. You're going to go ahead and do it. Well, that metaphor works here, too. If we know and sounded the alarm that burglars are present and threatening the house, that doesn't mean we found our own, created our own police force, complete with cars, 24/7, 365, two shifts, pension plans, badges, and uniforms. Instead, we would find a way to tie our house security system into the local police department. We might even pre-program our telephone to dial 911. In case of an emergency. So there's a lot of things we can do to take this alarm and turn it into action that works with existing CERT as opposed to creating our own.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Last two on DNS cert.
Yes, Bob Hutchinson from Dynamic Ventures. I would like to reiterate that existing cert channels support millions of computer users every day, and the advisories that come through them get translated into numerous languages all around the world. These channels are effective and long-running channels in our industry, and we should attempt to use them as much as possible for this kind of information. It's not clear at all to me why you need a separate cert, but I'm glad that the proposal was made in order to get a dialogue about how this section of networking can clarify its own support picture for the user community. For example, I checked your webpage, and there is no linkage off of the ICANN webpage for people to find which certs are being supported for which information they need to get. So that's one improvement could be made right away.
We'll look right away into that one. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I'm just checking, Heather, you're on a new topic, or you want it, you're on DNS cert. Okay. On this side.
Hi, I'm Greg Lindquist. I'm the CEO of Autonomica in Stockholm, who runs the iRoot server. And we also provide slave servers of 60 TLDs, around 60 TLDs. And I'd like to echo what Steve conveyed from Rodney. We don't see an increase in attacks today. On the question of the DNS cert, I'm not convinced that looking at the DNS system in isolation adds any value. The stability and robustness of security, and we take this pretty serious, is dependent on many factors, and there's a lot of other issues that affect the stability. If you break out the DNS, you will lose the view of these factors, and that's why some of the certs are very effective, because they can see cross-functional, they can see how a lot of these issues are linked. And the other reason certs are successful is that they have a very close tie to local community, they have very direct connections, and I'm not convinced that a centralized DNS cert around the globe will have that linkage or even be effective. I think that what I could do is build, do capacity building and help work together with current certs, existing certs inside the current frameworks, because adding more frameworks, adding more structure will just be taking focus away from these issues, and I think that's where I can do a difference and also help establishing new certs.
Thank you. Heather, you're going to be last on security.
Thank you. I am the Canadian GAC representative, and I've been listening very carefully to the clarifications that are being sought today. I have a question for Rod. You mentioned that you have been consulting with several major governments, and I wondered whether you had spoken to the Canadian government.
Not recently, no. But in my previous capacity, yes, in terms of general concerns and increases in cybersecurity. But I can't even I could point you back to some of the research, but not since I've taken the position that I can, no. But I'd be happy to do that.
Please do. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now we're opening the floor just for a couple of minutes before the board escapes.
Steve, Peter, can I just...
Bruce.
If I may. I just want to address a question that was raised a little earlier, but it's in the context of what we're doing on the security front. I think there was a concern expressed, and it's come up a couple of times in this meeting, that ICANN's spending everything on new gTLDs and is not doing anything about security or IP version 6. Just to be clear, the DNSSEC in terms of signing the root is a process that's happening this year, which is 2010. New gTLDs are probably unlikely to be added to the root before either late 2011 or even 2012, I think, in terms of many of them. So those events are different events on a different timescale. So the organisation is introducing security mechanisms this year. Secondly, in terms of what is done about improving security, there's a lot of work that's been going in the new gTLD process to add stronger mechanisms in new agreements, both with respect to the requirement to use DNSSEC and also the requirement for name servers to be reachable by IP version 6. So just want to be clear, you hear a lot of discussion about policy here, but there are a lot of other activities going on in the organisation, so I just want to make that clear.
Thanks, Bruce. Very helpful. Now, we have only 5 more minutes. The board has to have lunch, and then we are going to spend the rest of the afternoon digesting all the comments we've received from this process, all the comments we've heard for the rest of the week, so that we can try and make some progress at the board meeting tomorrow. Can I just do a quick check down the line? What are the topics that you, sir, would like to raise now?
I'm having a comment about .gay LLC and also the timeline.
Okay, behind you, the topic.
Any other issues? I want to know why I can have not his representative bureau in Africa.
Thank you. Amadeo, your topic?
I want to propose a resolution to the board apologizing to Kenyan and Africans the way the communication about organizing this meeting has been handled.
Thank you. And Adam.
Gender imbalance in ICANN.
Thank you. And down this line?
In the beginning ceremony, issues about religion and secularness in ICANN.
Okay. Marilyn?
Yes, sir. I want to talk about participation.
Yes, Bertrand.
I would like to ask why the EOI workshop of the board this afternoon is not public, and I'm done.
Thank you.
If I had listened, by the way.
Sorry.
No, I want to raise a comment about the next African meeting.
Right.
And I would have raised a comment on the economic studies.
Are any of you able to make these comments in writing through the comment process? Adam? Done so? All right. Well, why don't we take a minute then on each of these topics?
And Peter, this is Rob. If I can also interject what's online in terms of topics. One is the conflict of interest on GTLD evaluators. A second one is on applicants applying for the same string. And a third is on future use of remote participation, particularly by the non-commercial community.
All right, let's see how far we can get with a minute each on these topics. And this is not the end of this. This is just the opportunity here. You can still make the comments through the other process. Sir.
Thank you. I'm Scott Seitz with .gay LLC. I'm the new majority stockholder in .gay. It was introduced in June of last year by Alexander Schubert. Prior to my ownership of .gay LLC, I own SPI Marketing, which is one of the first companies to do gay and lesbian marketing in the United States. We work with both community organizations and Fortune 500 companies. .gay is an amazing opportunity for...
Excuse me, sorry. We really don't need to hear about any individual TLE unless you can tell us how to help the policy development process.
Using your house analogy, currently we are already out talking and building constituency in our community. We're building a house, and we don't know if we own the land.
Gotcha. Thank you. Avery, a minute.
Yes. This is Avery Doria speaking for myself. Very concerned about the way the ICANN started this time. Many of us have religious feelings. Some of us have irreligious feelings. It was extremely unusual to start with a prayer, even to start with two or three religions' prayers. In the first place, I do believe we need to maintain a separation of the secular, which is ICANN is about. There's nothing in its mission about reverence for God, thanking God, or even caring about God. Beyond that, even if we do care about religion and we are religious, there's no way that we can be fair to all religions in doing anything. That's one of the reasons why people do maintain a separation of the secular and the religious. And I ask ICANN to please go back to the good old days where we started with technology and policy concerns and not with God.
Thank you, Avery. That couple-minute exercise has generated a lot of feedback, both positive and negative, both extremely positive feedback and very negative, which we're open to. The decision to do that was based on social integration of communities here in Kenya, in particular in light of things that had gone on in downtown Kenya, downtown Nairobi. In the last several months, we thought it was desirable to let the leaders of the primary communities come forth and participate in this event constructively. We thought that was a positive thing to do, to ask for their involvement and ask for their help to make sure this was really a successful program. And we understood that some members of the community might enjoy that. Personally, I also want to say I fully recognize the right of groups inside ICANN to create constituencies on any topic they deem appropriate that fits within the policy charters. And I do understand that there's one proposed constituency that may include religious organizations. I would certainly hope that as an organization we wouldn't try to exclude that or exclude that component of people's lives, which is important. Not to speak to opening ceremony, I'm actually going to propose we put that online and get comment.
Okay. Amadeo.
Sure, not on that. On that, Rod. Okay, but this is not only about, you know, if that's about local policies, then let's pray for serious things. I am a Catholic without the gift of the faith. I just have the cultural Catholicism in me. But I was taught very seriously that God is not to be used for things like DNSSEC or Who is Reform. Use that for important things. Don't pray for the future internet. Pray for the future of the nation, if you want. Okay, now to my proposal. And sorry to, you know, change the mood of what has been going on today to something a little bit less negative. I would formally request the board and ask them to tomorrow, besides the usual thanks resolution, pass an apologies resolution for the way this meeting organization has been handled. It's not about whether there was a security risk or not. I have my opinion about the seriousness of that. Whether this security issue as such has been dealt in a professional or at least acceptable way, I have my opinion on that. But, you know, this is the kind of things cannot be discussed in a public forum.
Okay, Amadeo, that's...
So the question... Sorry, wait a second, Peter. The question is about how the communications have been handled in a way to invite all of us not to come here and ending in the summit with this post about head HS4 delegates, because, you know, some heads of the state had the bad idea to join here, so we had to do 50 more meters to go to the restrooms. All this was really insulting to me as an attendee, but I think it was even more insulting for the local organizers, for the African people.
Thanks, Amadeo. Marilyn.
Thank you. My comments are going to be about participation, in particular to the wonderful work done by our host. And I must say that I feel very strongly that everyone who didn't come, and while I appreciate your participating remotely, I feel that everyone who didn't come missed out. And so that's my message about that. Participation matters. And so we were very fortunate in the business community to have a local member, Wada Saganga, from the Computer Society of Kenya, who was well integrated into the host organizing and could work with us. He set up an outreach breakfast to bring global representatives together with the local business community. That was the first time we really had an opportunity to talk at a very local business person to business person level about why ICANN should matter to local businesses. We really appreciate the fact that the board adjusted their schedule and some of you were able to come to the reception. So why, I wanted to thank you, but why am I saying this? Because in looking ahead to Brussels.
You're out of time. So please be quick.
Looking ahead to Brussels, we plan to do more.
Thank you. Steve.
Steve Del Bianco of NetChoice. Comment on the economic studies that are currently being planned. There's a saying that the more you try to resist something, the more you conform to it. And I think this saying can be true of Bertrand's push for categories. The more we try to resist that idea, it's clear that we've already conformed to categories on the G side with respect to things like IDNs, communities, geographical, and, of course, all other Gs. The first set of economic studies ignored the categories idea and said choice is good, so more choice must be better for global registrants. But if you take a look at the categories underway now, which of those four categories that we love are already being underserved? And you can take a look at small geographical communities, but the most underserved is IDN users. They have no choice at the TLD level. So if you take a look at incremental benefit to individual registrants, it's going to be the GTLDs and IDNs. And it'll be essential to serve them if we're really going to meet the test of global public interest. Thank you.
Thank you. And Eberhard, you have the honor of the last comment in this forum.
Can you tell Eberhard Lisse, I'm speaking for .na. I would like to thank the ICANN board for not giving in to the unfounded and unsubstantiated scaremongering and going ahead with the ICANN meeting in Nairobi. This meeting has proven once and for all. This meeting has proven once and for all that we Africans are more than able to hold such a meeting successfully. It is therefore that I wish to use this opportunity to state for the record on behalf of the Namibian Network Information Center, the CCDLD manager of .na, that though we were unsuccessful in bidding for this very meeting, that we are encouraged by the success of this meeting to bid for the next ICANN meeting to be held in Africa, ICANN 43 in October 2011 in the capital of Namibia in Windhoek.
Thank you, Eberhard. And now some closing comments from board members. I have Kateem. Kateem?
Thanks a lot, Peter. Good afternoon, everybody. It's been a wonderful session. I've been really enjoying the contributions from the floor. I just wanted to remark, Peter, that I noticed that you closed off the discussions on application fees just before two delegates from Africa were able to make their contribution. And I'd like to suggest that we remind and encourage them to not be discouraged, but continue and provide us their comments offline, because I think it's very important that we hear their opinion, most especially because we all the time lament the fact that it's not very often that we hear from Africans. So please, I think it was Fatima and Ogutu from Kenya, please go ahead and submit us, provide us your comments. It'll be much appreciated. And in fact, along those lines, I have the idea that we might actually want to pursue this whole notion of offline participation and enabling people to, even after the meetings are done, to provide us audio contributions, either by podcast or provide them facilities here where they can go in. We allow them 3 minutes or 2 minutes, whatever, they record it, and it will be part of the official record of the public forum. Because there are instances in the United States where you have members of Congress addressing empty chambers just so they can actually go on the record and the transcripts of the activities of the Congress. Finally, I'd like to say, not quite finally, but I'd like to say penultimately, that I think we should give serious thought to the suggestion from Veteran that we at least give a little bit more consideration or extra consideration to presentations or opinions from various groups and international organizations and government bodies. And I'm thinking in this regard that maybe what we can do for the next forum is to have a special block of time in the beginning, distribute that between those entities, international organizations, stakeholders, the councils, and the advisory committees, those of them that want to make a statement that's representative of their collective position. And then the rest of the time we can leave to individual contributions and opinions. Finally, I'd like to say thank you very much to the Kenyan hosts. You've been wonderful, and I'm really glad everybody is coming out very positive about the experience that we've had here. Again, thanks for your opinions.
Thanks, Kateem. Bertrand, one small response.
No, it's not a response. I just wanted to ask you, Mr. Chair, if you intend to answer the very short question that I made, which is there any specific reason why the workshop of the board on the decision of the EOI is not public?
It's the same as all of the workshop, I suppose, is the answer. The board needs...
Don't you think that this gives way to the... what was the expression in the previous years about the preparation of the theater of the board meeting? The reason is that the board meeting on the EOI is actually the workshop that you have this afternoon. I do not see any fundamental difference, apart from the taking of the decision, between the meeting this afternoon and the meeting you will have tomorrow. There may be a very valid reason. I do not see it.
Okay, thank you. Any other board member want to close? In which case, I declare the forum closed with great thanks to all of those of you who have participated and presently. Thank you for comments. Thank you for keeping them as concise as you could. Thank you for those online. And finally, thank you to the staff who've worked so hard to bring all this together. All of the staff teams, the security team, the online team, the legal team, the policy team, you do a tremendous work, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much.